And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It is 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 22nd of May, 2024. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. How are you all keeping? I hope you're well across the Northwest or wherever you are listening to us around the world. It's great to have you on board. And it is another different kind of a format of a show, as it will be just for the next couple of weeks, if you can bear with us. But many of you actually engaging in the election debates, which is great. Today, our focus is on Glenties. That's coming up after 10 o'clock. And we have 16 candidates contesting six seats in the Glenties electoral area. So we've had to split the debates into two. Our guests today will be Micheál Colm McGillan-Asberg, Kevin O'Donnell, Joseph Molloy, Jimmy Duffy, John Riley, and Sweeney. Kelly Rogers of Sinn Féin was also invited, unable to attend. Michael McClafferty, Independent, also invited, unable to attend. So it is a panel of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if you have any questions as it relates to matters in the Glenties electoral area, get them into us now. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. And then afterwards, online only, just after 12, you can watch on our YouTube channel, our Facebook pages, or Twitter, stroke X. We have our third European debate. And the way it's done, right, is you we randomise it and invite people on, and then hope to get a mixture of, you know, government reps, opposition, independents, opposition, you know what I mean. But sometimes people choose not to attend. So we had invited Barry Cowan of Fianna Fáil. I think Fianna Fáil are adopting a strategy whereby they're focusing on particular areas. So Barry, I'm not sure about that. Barry Cowan is not coming on. Michelle Gilden of Sinn Féin was also invited. She has decided not to entertain the debate. Luke Mingflanagan's an independent. He'll be on. Peter Casey, an independent. He's on as well. Daniel Pocock's an independent, and he'll be on. And James Reynolds, National Party, also invited. So as I say, it was a random draw. It's not our fault. Unfortunately, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin decided not to take part in these debates for us here in the Northwest. So it's going to have a bit of an independent buzz to it. But listen, all of those people looking for your votes as well. That's coming up online exclusive just after 12, 5 past 12 till about 5 past 10 past 1. But you can watch that at your leisure this evening or whatever if you're still undecided as to which way to go. Right, let's look at the newspapers for this morning. We'll start with the Finn Valley Voice. Not enough women up for election, says Donegal CC Forum. Not enough women putting themselves forward as election candidates. Not enough of those women are being selected, and not enough of them are staying in politics for the long haul. So you can read much more on that paper and in it if you buy it. The Irish Times tells us that pedestrians are twice as likely to be hit by EVs, electronic vehicles. Pedestrians are twice as likely to be hit by an electric or hybrid car as by those powered by petrol or diesel, a study has suggested. Irish emergency medicine doctors said this could be a result of these vehicles being much quieter than their more traditional counterparts, adding electric vehicles are heavier than petrol or diesel cars, meaning they can be more deadly on impact. So a lot of the stats you would see is about, you know, the damage to the pedestrian at 20 miles an hour, 20 kilometres an hour, 40, 60, 80. But of course, EVs are much heavier. So presumably, even at lower speeds, the damage can be worse. The study published in the British Medical Journal analysed road casualty data in Britain between 2013 and 2017 for every 100 million miles of road travelled. Between these years, there were 916,000 casualties from reported road traffic collisions. Of these, 120,000 were pedestrians, 96,000 of whom had been hit by a car or taxi. Three quarters of these pedestrians, 71,000, had been hit by a car powered by petrol or diesel. Some 1,652, this made the front page of the paper, 1,652 or 2% had been hit by an electric or hybrid vehicle. But they're twice as likely to be hit by those. And then, of course, now we've got more scooters and bikes. It's a tough old world out there for the pedestrian. Nightmare in the airways. It's funny, you know, when something happens on an aeroplane, it's incredibly rare, but obviously it's incredibly dramatic. And there are pages and pages and pages in the papers about this instance. And it is, unfortunately, one person lost their life. One person was killed and 30 were injured after a Singapore Airlines flight hit severe turbulence yesterday, flinging passengers and crew around the cabin and forcing the plane to land in Bangkok, officials and the airline said. The flight from London and bound for Singapore fell into an air pocket while cabin crew were serving breakfast before it encountered turbulence, prompting the pilots to request an emergency landing. Bangkok Airport General Manager told a press conference. Photographs from the interior of the plane showed large gashes in the overhead panels, gas masks and panels hanging from the ceiling and items and hand luggage strewn around. It dropped 6,000 feet. And unfortunately, a 73-year-old British man, Jeffrey Kitchen, died during the incident, likely due to a heart attack. I think there were four Irish people on that flight as well. But as I say, thankfully, these things are very rare on aeroplanes, and that's why it's getting so much media coverage today. On to the Daily Mail now. And RTE is coming under increasing pressure over the exclusion of candidates from the upcoming election debates. Interested to see what your views are in relation to this. I mean, you know, obviously, say, for instance, in Midlands Northwest, there are 27 candidates. RTE perhaps are doing one show. Do you think it's right that they select those that are likely to? That being said, there are those, and we've had them on our debates, that said, well, you know, Peter Casey's seems to be polling quite low, and there are others that are polling against ahead of him that are being excluded. Is it because you want to pitch on people that can have a bit of a ding-dong? I don't know what the criteria is or how it's set out. But politicians standing in the mayoral election in Limerick have criticised the broadcaster over the exclusion of non-party candidates from a televised debate this Monday. The national broadcaster has already faced significant criticism over the exclusion of certain candidates from its suite of debates ahead of the local and European elections on June 7th. The Limerick mayoral race is the first of its kind in Ireland and could form the basis for similar elections in other cities. Independent candidates, including former Department of Finance Secretary General John Moran and businesswoman Helen O'Donnell, are considered to be among the front runners for the contest. Mr. Moran yesterday criticised the decision to exclude him from the debate. He said, over the weekend I received with disbelief a letter from Up Front with Katie Hannan on RTE to inform me that I was not invited to be a member of their panel of candidates to help voters pick their preferred candidates for the role of Executive Mayor of Limerick. But the problem is that, and of course, you know, it might be that all the media is tarred with one brush. There is a lot of criticism out there with claims that sort of, you know, RTE's a mouthpiece for the establishment and, you know, the main political parties. I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm saying that's the perception out there. And then when they announce their list of candidates that they're inviting for debates, and they exclude, you know, independents and even those that have a chance of securing that seat, well, that only just throws petrol on those flames, doesn't it? What do you think? 08660 25,000. On to the... Actually, I've identified the same story in two papers, and the Irish Daily Star picked out the airport one as well. But I'll stick to this one on climate plan not on attack. Climate plan not on track, I beg your pardon. Minister Eamon Ryan said Ireland is not on track to meet our climate targets as he launched the 2024 Climate Action Plan yesterday. There's been one significant change in the government-approved document. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell decided not to proceed with a diversification scheme for farmers, which could have paid them to move to the likes of organic farming, anaerobic digestion or forestry. But subsequently, the plan remains the same, or substantially, said Minister Ryan. And also, too, there are some children that endure a terrible life in this country. And we often talk about, and it's perfectly fine, and I'm not criticising people, but we often talk about, you know, the threats to children or what potentially could happen to children. And I don't think we talk enough about what's actually happening to children right now and what we as a society sort of need to face and ask ourselves, why is it the case that so many young people are enduring horrific young lives? As I say, I understand how some people talk of fear and what could happen, but there's awful things already happening in this country and have for generations. And this is underlined in this story. There were 5,467 child sex abuse referrals to Tuzla in 2023. That's just 1 year. And that's just the cases that came to the attention of the authorities. This makes up 6% of the 91,924 referrals received by the Child and Family Agency last year, the chief executive of Tuzla told an Oireachtas committee yesterday. Kate Duggan revealed the figure during the Children's Committee review of the Barnahus model for child sexual abuse victims. So 5,467 children last year alone had sex abuse referrals to Tuzla in 2023. That is something that we as a society really need to start talking about, as well as if people want to talk about what could happen, but certainly need to reflect on what's happening right now. And unfortunately to our young people, has been happening historically. It's not exclusive to this country, of course, but it really bothers me. And I just wish we cared more. I'm not on about individuals, so I'm not talking about you as an individual that might say, well, I care. Of course you do. You know what I mean, though, I suppose. Right. The Sun this morning. RTE's in crises as the two Johnnies, or could it be the two Gonnies? The two Johnnies are latest to hang up their mics. 2FM was in turmoil last night. I don't think they're in turmoil. 2FM was in turmoil last night after the station's most popular presenters, the two Johnnies, revealed they're to quit. The pair's announcement yesterday comes just days after social influencer Doreen Garrahy declared she was leaving the station's breakfast show. Now fears are mounting that Jennifer Zamparelli, who hosts the slot held for so long by legend Jerry Ryan until his sudden death in 2010, could be the next to leave the sinking ship after being absent for the last 6 weeks. I wasn't aware. An industry source told the Irish Sun, this is the biggest crisis to hit 2FM since the death of Jerry Ryan. I read their Instagram post and I didn't get the impression that they left by choice. It kind of read a little bit like by mutual consent. They're probably lovely guys. It's not for me. I suppose if you're looking for voices from outside the pale, so to speak, I think they could do something else. And constantly calling everyone lads did my head in. But that being said, they were hugely popular according to figures, they're no more. They're leaving the station. Right, okay. That is a look at the newspapers for this morning. Another busy morning, of course, this Wednesday. We will have a couple of interviews for you before 10. And then after that, of course, it is our next local election debate, with the focus being on Glenties. What are the issues that you're concerned about in the Glenties electoral area? 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Just want to mention to you that the latest edition of Highland Radio's Business Matters Business Podcast is released today. Chris Ashmore's guest is Larissa Feeney. She's president of the Donegal Women in Business Network. It celebrates its 25th anniversary this year. She's also founder of the Accountant Online. Which has just been rebranded. And Chris will also look forward to the Highland Radio Customer Service Awards night with Sean Quinn, who's the head of sales here at Highland Radio. So that's available today for you on our listen back section. And you can also listen to it on the radio after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. Now, Roisin Kelly's treasurer of Mary's Meals. Good morning to you, Roisin.
Oh, good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Before we get to the reason why we invited you on, and that's to alert people of a potential fraud, talk to us about the work that Mary's Meals is doing in the region, Roisin.
Right. Well, we have a feeding program in 17 of the poorest countries of the world. And the program feeds children. They come to school to be educated out of poverty. So the numbers are ever increasing, because when one child hears that another child is, getting something to eat, well, then the parents are more inclined to let the children go to school instead of sending them out to beg, and maybe worse. We are currently feeding 2,429,182 children, with the hope of extending that in the very foreseeable future.
Now, of course, much of that fantastic work is done through the donations, the generous donations of the public. And unfortunately, it seems that there are those trying to exploit that generosity and also damage, really, potentially, the fundraising efforts of Mary's Meals.
Absolutely. Now, someone received a call, saying that they were Mary's Meals and asking for money. Now, we never, never phone anyone asking for money. We would have appeals go out, and in fact, we have an appeal currently, which is for famine relief in Ethiopia. And it's largely kind of under the radar because other troubled areas are making the headlines more so. But we are feeding in Tigray, north of Ethiopia, 64,000 children. But there's a very real danger that children will be orphaned if the parents or sometimes older siblings are the ones who actually bring up the children, if they don't get food. So, but donations would be gratefully accepted, yes, but in the information centre, which is in Greens in the Market Square. And there you will get a receipt for your donation. Also, people can get more information on www.marysmeals.ie. But we do, everything we do is voluntary, and I can put my hand up and say every penny, like we are entitled to keep 7 cents in every euro, for expenses. No one, not one of the volunteers has ever asked for as much as a stamp. You know, so in fact, everything that comes in through us goes direct.
And I think the key message here really too is that to avoid anyone being exploited is Mary's Meals does not call looking for donations. So if you receive a call by someone saying, look, I'm on behalf of Mary's Meals, we're doing this fantastic work, please, could you make a donation? That's not how you fundraise.
No, absolutely not. And I have never, like in a good few years now involved, I have never asked anybody for anything. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe my husband or the children.
He signed up for that, Roisin. He's all right.
Yeah, well, that is true. Par for the course.
Yeah.
But no, we never ring anyone. We do. It's just not something we do. Mm-hmm. If we do it, it's very much in the public arena, and it's up to people themselves to come to us.
And there's different ways people can donate, as you mentioned. Just looking for an example here of the impact people can make. If you go to the Mary's Meals website, €595. This is not what the people can donate, much less, don't get me wrong, but just to give people an idea of the work that Mary's Meals does, for a donation of €595, that allows Mary's Meals to feed a class of 27 children for a full year. So that's how broadly the money can be spread. Now, obviously, people can donate much less than that, but I just want to give people an idea of the impact their money can have.
Yeah. Well, €22 feeds one child for a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is amazing. And that, I think, sometimes has the most impact when people hear it. You know, actually, quite a few people would come back to you and say, sorry, say that again. As a family, there's nothing we like more than going out as a family and celebrating, But, you're not going to get a meal for... less than maybe that, especially Sunday lunches or something like that. You're not going to get a meal for less than that. So it is astounding to think that we can, because the food is mainly sourced in their own countries.
Yeah, so it's feeding into the economy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And even it has snowballed into, family schools, planting, vegetables, growing vegetables. So the whole community, really, it becomes a community thing, yes.
Right, so another if people big want... Thing, sorry, go ahead, yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say another big thing, maybe the companies and that, my own company would do it, is to sponsor a school. Now, again, that can vary according to the number of pupils in a school, but that's, just for something on a larger scale. But there's anything and everything is possible. From, as I say, we don't even ask for €22. Find 10, 20 cents, I used to not bother picking it up. Now I would pick it up because I know that's a meal one meal.
£5.50 so, provides 50 meals in a place of education, which is a remarkable return for people's generosity. As people can go to the website, they can donate there, support functions, absolutely. And there's a drop-in, is there, in Letterkenny?
Yes, it's an information and craft centre, and we're in Greens in the Market Square, and Wednesday to Friday, 11 o'clock to 4.
Okay.
So thank you very much for putting the time
it's important,
to speak to your listeners.
And the important thing is people do not, Mary's Meals do not call people. There is a donation centre, as you mentioned there, besides Greens Shoes. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Take care of yourself. I do appreciate your time. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. A caller says, I'm on the Lifford to Ballybuffet Road by the Greenway. I'm a lorry delivery driver. There are three sets of traffic lights and there's no need for them. Construction workers should be fined when there's no need for extra lights. It's so frustrating. I've no problem with lights if there is a need for them. I can't imagine that they're for no reason, though, are they? I mean, maybe there's a sort of a construction-related reason as to why they're there. I don't know. It just... I know, for example, sort of on the... up McGrory's Brae, sometimes there's three sets of lights there, a set of lights in the middle, and I presume that's if things have to be moved around at the bottom part of the works, and then they can change it and move stuff around at the top part of the works. But if they're there all the time, it's beyond my expertise in that regard. Good morning, Greg. Could you possibly wish Conor Carey all the success on the 4th of June as he sets off to undertake another big challenge of doing three stages of the Tour de France for MS International. He's also raising funds for Donegal MS. Conor himself is primary progressive MS, and thankfully it's a slow progression so far. This is Conor's third time to take on this challenge, as each time it's more difficult, but he is determined to try to help in finding a cure for MS. And I've spoken to Conor, I think at least once, but possibly ahead twice of these challenges that he sets himself. So more than happy to mention that. Good luck, Conor, and we can share your page on our pages as well to help get the message out there. A caller says, RTE did the same when they excluded Mary Lou from debates for the new Taoiseach prior to the last general election, and they wonder why people refuse to pay their TV licence. As I say, for me, you know, it's so much easier to be fair than it is to be not fair. I don't know why people put themselves through it. Hi, Greg. So one of the candidates for the local elections can't say whether or not the earth is flat now. That's wow, they said. That's a reference to Kim McMenamin, who was asking questions, he said. What's the big deal with Ireland formally recognising a Palestinian state the way it's being reported? You think Ireland are the trailblazers on this issue, when in fact 139 of 192 member countries in the UN have already done so. The big question to the Johnny-come-lately Irish politicians is, what kept you? Another caller says, maybe somebody could point Vincent Bradley in the right direction as to where his boundary is. Lots of posters at Mountain Top, which is not in his area. He's running in the Letterkenny area as well as Milford, you see. So, and you can do that. I believe he's the only candidate that's doing it. So he's not outside his area. He's actually running in both Letterkenny and Milford. Speaking of elections, just a reminder for those of you switching on late. Today, our election debate is focused on Glenties. We have Micheál Colm McGillin-Asberg, Independent, Kevin O'Donnell, Independent, Joseph Molloy standing for Fine Gael, Jimmy Duffy standing for Labour, John Riley standing for Fianna Fáil, and Anne Sweeney, who is an Independent. Kelly Rogers of Sinn Féin was due to attend but can no longer attend. Michael McClafferty, an Independent, has also chosen not to take part in the debates. Right, so if you have any questions as it relates to issues in the Glenties electoral area that you want me to put to the panel, please get in touch 086 60 25,000 or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and we are talking about Jive for June. It's all kicking off. I should have something really jivey to play, but I just don't at the moment. Isabel Rogers is chair of the Donegal Hospice, and we're also joined in the studio by Kieran Shields, who's dad to Connell, who is coming 10 years old. And it's going to be really nice to speak to you as someone who avails of the services. It's not easy, so we appreciate you helping us just to drive home the fantastic work that is being done. I'll come to you in a moment, Kieran. First to you, Isabel. So this is it, the launch of Jive for June. Isn't the launch. The launch is being... What was that? Explain it to me.
Yeah, well, the launch will be in a couple of weeks' time.
You see, because you've already kind of semi-launched it the last time you were on with me, so I'm getting confused.
I was kind of doing it too early there, Greg. But anyway, it's going into its fourth year now, so I'm very happy with last year, 202,000.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, I never dreamt that it would ever get to that, but it did. But the thing is, I'm working on it from January, and I have everybody kind of tortured. But anyway, it's all right. It works out.
Yeah.
And it's good. And
they're still answering the phone to you anyway.
And it's good that it's not all about jiving. You know, people do different things, car washes and as I say, some children do trampolines and for the month of June and all that. And then they put their jive up. If they do the jive and David James plays the jive at 4 o'clock, they put it up then on the hospice Facebook page and Highland Radio. And then if they want to go back, if anybody wants to have a wee look at last year, it's on Highland Radio, the wee snippets of everybody's jive.
Yeah, and some of these jives go viral as well. Yep. So it's a simple concept. And it really effectively too, what it means is we get to talk about the fundraising and fundraising ideas throughout the course of June. And you can come up with your ideas. But just to recap what Isabel is saying, from Tuesday the 4th of June on Jive Time with David James, he'll give you the cue to jive, I suppose, at 4 o'clock or just after the news. He'll play a jiving song on his show. What we want you to do is have a bit of fun with it. Record your jive. Now, it doesn't have to be live, okay? You can do it at any stage you like. It's just a reminder for you to do so. Record your jive and send it to us at comments@highlandradio.com. We'll post it on our social media and to the Donegal Hospice Facebook page. And then what you do, because you're putting yourself out there, is you ask your family, your friends and the public to donate to the hospice. And as I say, if jiving ain't your thing, whatever way you can use this sort of mechanic to raise money and hopefully at least match last year's donations, it's up to the public.
Yeah. There's a wee lad, Connor McCready, and he's doing a mega draw. And I think they're up at 85 prizes at the moment. Now, some of them, they're very good prizes. So we'll be doing a raffle online as well. And then also we'll be around the, you know, Dunn Stores and all the Aldi's and Lidl's and all that, selling tickets for the prizes.
So it's all part of a big push.
Yeah,
for,
big push.
Also, too, there are... It can be often easier to hand it around the family or the workplace. Yeah. There are donation or sponsorship cards available as well.
Yeah, they can get them off me,
yeah. Yeah, okay, so that's brilliant. And listen, get a bit of rivalry going in the workplace. You know, the more, the merrier. €202,000 raised last year. I kind of find it hard to get my head around that figure.
I know,
it's
so did
remarkable. We're going to speak to Kieran in a moment, but just to talk of the services that Donegal Hospice provides that families like the Shields can avail of.
Yeah, we've been looking after the children with complex needs for, I would say it's the last 15 years, Greg, and it's to do with night nursing and daycare as well. And Connell's been on our books for eight years?
Almost 10.
And sure, the two that goes in, they're just like second grannies because they just adore him. And we've been looking after the children. And as I say, the reason I brought Kieran on was to highlight that we do look after children
as well. And there's 13 children currently being looked after by homes, in their homes, which is a very important element of that as well, in their own homes by the nurse team.
Yeah. And then... we also cover the COPD, motor neuron, and MS as well. So it's just that I like to bring a service user on each year from the different...
And Kieran, you've been really good in doing this, just to, I suppose, to help people understand where their fantastic generosity goes, that we as a community all come together to help us individually within the community as well. So Kieran, talk to us about your experience of the services and what you want to talk about.
Well, first I'll tell you about Connell himself. Connell is the youngest of three children. He has an older sister, Cara, she's coming 16, and an older brother, Senan, who's 14. And as you said earlier, Connell's coming 10. He'll be 10 now next month. Connell was born with severe hydrocephalus, that's fluid on the brain, so he has a life-limiting condition and complex medical needs. He's non-verbal, a wheelchair user, and he's peg-fed. He requires 24-hour round-the-clock care. He'd be very prone to seizures and also to chest infections, so unfortunately that means we're in and out of hospital quite a bit. However, Connell is a little fighter. He's come through many illnesses. He attends Little Angels Special School just down the road, and he loves music, he loves going for walks, and he loves being the centre of attention. I suppose the second thing I want to highlight today is just our thanks to Isabel and the hospice for all the work that they have, what they do, and for all the support that they give to our family. This allows us just to do the simple things that everyday families take for granted. It allows us to get a full night's sleep without getting up to give medications or to put on a feed. It allows my wife, Aoife, she works part-time, so a nurse comes in to collect him off his bus at school, looks after him for a couple hours, and allows her to work part-time. It also allows us to spend time with our other two children, as I mentioned.
So important, that is.
That's it. Yeah, I suppose Connell, with all his needs, does take up a lot of our time. So it gives us a chance to spend time with them. It can be just as simple as getting them to their football, their Gaelic, their athletic events, going to meetings with them, going to the beach with them during the summer, because like that, Connell wouldn't last a full day on the beach. Mm-hmm. It would be too much for him, mm-hmm. so it would. So it's those simple things that we are able to do. And finally, it also allows myself and Aoife to go to social events, go to a wedding, be able to go out with our friends. These simple things that I suppose other families take for granted. We're able to leave Connell with these nurses, professionals, medical, able to look after all his needs. We can go away. We're not worried about him. And as Isabel mentioned, these ladies, they're part of the family at this stage. We just could not manage without them.
Yeah, and as I say, there's a lot going on all of the time. So you being able to get these periods of respite and some level of, you know, time to yourself as well. And really important too, in speaking to people, often talk of having the space to spend time with the siblings are often the best of, the best of everything. But they do also need a little bit of individual attention sometimes as well, which is brilliant. And I mean, it's remarkable, Isabel, isn't it?
Yeah, that you're able to do this type of work. Yeah, just to say that in the summer we put in extra hours to the children to allow the parents to do stuff with the other siblings. So it's just important that they're not forgot about either, and you know, and it's good to put in the extra hours for them. But whatever's needed, like we'll do it for them. Yeah. You know, we had the pleasure of having Connell turn on the Christmas lights at the hospice back in December, and sure, it was a great day, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, sure, he was just top notch that day. Now. Great.
A caller says the Jive for June is doing really, really well. Isabel should be very proud of herself. No one knows the work that goes on behind the scenes. I'd like to congratulate Isabel on all her hard work that she does for everyone touched by the Donegal Hospice. But the work of the Donegal Hospice never ends. It's constantly ongoing. And what we don't want to do is sort of think that somebody else is going to do something. We haven't up until now, but if we were to fall into that sort of mind space, we might not be able to raise the money that is needed to continue these fantastic services. So don't leave it to someone else. Jive for June. Find something else to do if you don't want to jive. Get the sponsorship cards. Harass your friends and family and work colleagues. And, let's see if we can at least match last year's amazing figure.
Yeah. Like I wrote to all the businesses as well and all the councillors and all that, Greg. It's not just about getting people to jive. And it's, you know... just my neighbours, everybody's behind me with it, you know, and it's very good. It's very good. And it's all about, it's not about the jiving either. It's about hospice and getting it out there and getting the service that we provide out there,
It's good. Everyone is aware, but just in case, we've been talking about the care that you provide to Connell and others. I mean, the obvious work the hospice does, but just to run through some of the other work and services provided by the hospice that this funding allows to continue.
Yeah, well, we have our 7 home care nurses out in the community, which cover all of Donegal. And then we have the inpatient unit. And as you are aware from being on the last day, we've got the planning through for the new apartments. And we're very excited about that and trying to get that, you know, sorted as well. So there's loads of meetings going on about everything. But anyway, it's all good. It's all good for Donegal Hospice. It's only what the people of Donegal deserve, Greg. You know, we need to be there for them. And we need to be there for the families as well, because they're going through the journey as well as the patient.
That's it. And Kieran, you know, and obviously most of us hopefully can enjoy the support of, you know, friends and families. But I suppose it can be a lonely enough space as well too. And it must be very comforting to know that you have the Donegal Hospice there on that journey with you.
Absolutely, Conal. I suppose with all his complex needs, we can't call on aunties, uncles, grandparents to do those babysitters. Yeah. So we have our nurses. Now, they are part of the family at this stage. We call them our
grannies.
We call them our grannies as well.
Are they happy enough with that?
They are. So they've stepped into that role for us and are able to look after Conal and all his needs. And I suppose when we go out then, it's the security of knowing that he's well looked after.
Okay, brilliant stuff. So we're talking about Jive for June. It kicks off officially on the 4th of June. It's on Jive Time with David James. It's about jiving. It's about, it's really though about the Donegal Hospice, right? But every day at 4 o'clock, we'll play a jive song here on Highland Radio. We want you to record that jive, send it to us at comments@highlandradio.com. It then gets posted on our social media and to the Donegal Hospice Facebook page. And we're encouraging you to even seek a sponsorship card. They're available from the Donegal Hospice. And then, as I say, badger your family, friends and the public and your work colleagues to donate to the hospice. And as I say, you know, a raft of services there, but always moving forward, expansions, as you've mentioned, Isabel, and, you know whatever the funding allows, whatever assistance it allows you to offer.
That's right. And the hospice staff will be doing the jive down at the hospice as well. And I think maybe yourselves is going to do one as
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't done a jive yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one, and I've got a lot of connections on Facebook, and it'd be lovely if I could, they might give me a few quid.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Exactly, that's good.
500 euro would be a great target, something like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
We'll try that.
Absolutely.
We'll do that for June 4th. I don't know who I'll jive with, though. Yeah. Kieran? I'm only joking.
I might send my wife up for that.
Or I could use my own wife. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
In inverted commas. Yeah. Exactly. Right, okay. We'll sort all that out. But as you say, listen, obviously, Isabel, you know we're behind you 100%, and I'm sure the team here will come up with some fantastic ideas.
Yeah, I want to thank Highland as well. They've all, like, when I came to them the first day, Greg, it was a bit of a long shot, you know. I opened my mouth at a meeting, probably when I shouldn't have, to say that I thought about this jive for June. But anyway, it's all good now, but Highland gives me an awful lot of support.
Yeah, but you know, we all live here. Yeah. We've all had family who've gone through the hospice, or most of us have. You know, that's the thing. We're a local community station and we're all, you know, we're all part of the same community. So it's a no-brainer for us to do anything we can. Kieran, thank you so much for calling up, and it's lovely to hear about Conal and to hear of all his achievements and his loves, but also to actually hear firsthand the support that you as a family and Conal as an individual get from the Donegal Hospice, and particularly the two extra grannies. So thanks so much helping us to get to know Conal, but also to get to know the services that are provided to him and the family. And as always, Isabel, we'll be chatting to you, I'm sure, in the not too distant future. But
I'll
just
keep updated.
Mark people's cards that June 4th is the kickoff, and there'll be tons of it on this show and on David's show as well. So both of you, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more on the programme very shortly. Right, there's an important meeting tonight, of course, as part of the whole election cycle and as we head towards the local elections in June. Aidan O'Donnell is CEO of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation, and he joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being with us. Okay, so there's a public meeting tonight, and it's important to point out that this is a public meeting taking place in Killybegs, and it's an opportunity for those in the fishing industry, in the fishing sector, those with an interest in it, and Killybegs as a whole, because the two are obviously intertwined, to put their questions directly to some of the candidates in the forthcoming EU elections, Aid.
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. What we have basically is a pre-election campaign organised by the three industry representation organisations. We have the meeting tonight. Kittybegs, as we know, is the main fishing port in Ireland. But we have a crisis situation. It's a situation that needs urgent attention. We have vessels that are only fishing for 28 to 30 days per year at maximum. We have factories that are on short time with 1 to 2 months working per year. It's just untenable. We've lost so much of our quota under Brexit. We've had a giveaway in that a number of years ago that's costing Ireland 140 million over the first 4 to 5 years. So something has to be done about this.
Do you think with the right people in the right chairs, it can be reversed?
It can be reversed. I mean, we have a very bright future in the right circumstances. The common fisheries policy needs to be reviewed. It needs to be looked at fundamentally. The Brexit situation needs to be addressed. But we must unite. We have 12% of the EU waters. We only have 5.6% of the quotas. So something needs to be done.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem right. I don't think anyone, whether they've been interested in fishing or not, could see the logic in such a small share of our own waters.
No, I mean, we need to value our waters. On top of all of these issues, we have a situation where annually Europe enters into discussions with the Norwegians and give them access to our waters, a non-EU state, to catch 3 times our quota. So you have our fleets tied at pier and Norwegian vessels fishing very heavily off the west coast of
Ireland. What's in that for Europe? Why do we do that? I've never heard that addressed. I mean, you're not here to make the argument for Europe, of course, but what's the logic in agreeing with a non-EU country to fish so extensively in our waters?
Well, from the Irish perspective, there's no logic, but certainly for Europe, there are deals that are done for the benefit of other European states. So you have European fleets that in turn get access to Norwegian waters. We don't benefit from this. So this is a European deal benefiting other Europeans. And unfortunately, Irish waters have been plundered as part of this deal.
Now, look, we're part of a union, right? We've chosen that, whether people like it or not. Some countries are landlocked, you know. I mean, so we have a share of waters. I'm going somewhere with this. But my point is that, right, we just treat us fairly, right? We accept that you're going to have to share some of this space with the people we've opted to be in bed with. But we should be getting a fair share of our own stocks in our own waters, especially when it's such an important industry. And it's not just money, it's the fabric of our communities too.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, all that's looked for here is a fair deal, fair share of the quotas. We, Ireland, has given 40% of the total value that was transferred to Britain under Brexit. This, for example, has hit Kittybegs. We've lost 26% of our mackerel quotas. Kittybegs used to be the mackerel capital of Europe. Now we're in a situation where we're only working 1 to 2 months maximum per year.
Okay.
So all that's required is fairness.
And we know, of course, you can check on the internet or you can see at times these massive ships. They're not even landing here. They're scooping everything up. God knows what they're scooping up and what impact they're having on everything else. Okay, so this meeting tonight is a public meeting. Tell us when, where.
Tara Hotel, 7 p.m., a public meeting. Everybody's invited. It's primarily about raising the awareness with the candidates about what the issues are in Kittybegs, what the issues are for coastal communities, and give them the opportunity to tell us what they're going to do.
And that's what you want to hear, is that you don't want to hear what someone else hasn't done. You want to hear, if they're elected, what they will do.
We need a clear set of ideas as to what they're going to do if they're elected in Europe to support our industry.
Okay, go ahead.
We need the public also to shine a spotlight on the candidates to ask them what they're going to do and to support this joint campaign of the organisations.
Now, everybody knows how important fishing is for the county, but particularly for Kittybegs. I think it's imperative, important, that that room is packed so that if there's any doubt amongst the candidates how important this is, that message rings true. And as I say, spare the hour or so, or however long it might last, get to the Tara Hotel at 7 p.m. and send a clear message to those looking for your vote that fishing is incredibly important to your area, your county, and there needs to be a big crowd there, which hopefully, and I'm sure there will be. Aid, thanks for that.
Thank you, Greg. Look forward to
seeing
you later.
Okay, take care. All right, bye-bye. And as I say, the focus will be on people in the audience putting their questions, their concerns to the EU candidates. I'll be putting your questions and your concerns to the Glenties electoral area candidates after we take a break.